Nazi Germany, in its hour of mortal peril, has brought forth its secret weapon, the mechanical bomber without a pilot. It stands revealed today as a weapon of terror, but not as a weapon of war. It is destructive, we know that. It will probably be more difficult to overcome than the magnetic mine because it appears to be mechanically controlled, not radio controlled. To be stopped, either its launching mechanism must be destroyed or it must be shot down in flight. But this is not an anti-invasion weapon. It is a weapon aimed at London. It cannot be aimed at a specific military target. It can only be aimed in the general direction of a big area where what it hits depends on chance. Today, Berlin's radio spokesmen gloat over this revenge, this reprisal, this expression of hatred. They say nothing about its effect on the invasion for the very good reason that it can have no real effect on the invasion. Such an uncontrollable device is useless at the battle line. It would be just as likely to fall 1,000 yards short and to hit Germans as it would be to hit our men. Also, we can assume that it is not effective against the invasion ports in England. It comes from the Calais coast, which is the nearest point to London. The launching installations are up on the coast in the most vulnerable places. If it had had enough range to reach more than London, it would have been placed farther back, where our bombers would have had a harder time finding it, and where it would not be in such danger of being overrun by our invasion advance. In all of this, the Nazi concept of war has never stood out in such precise, revealing focus. Now is the time when they need, above everything else, a real weapon of war. To contain our landings in Normandy, they are being forced to spend and consume the armored divisions which should be conserved for the decisive counter-thrust. Their retreat in Italy has degenerated into as humiliating a rout as anything they ever imposed on Allied armies in the hour of their strength. They have utterly failed to protect their own war industry with the Air Force which was intended to win them the war. Yet at this moment, the German mind, working in the narrow, warped channel of thought imposed upon it by Nazism, has produced as the supreme expression of German war ingenuity a weapon which meets none of Germany's real military needs. Thus, even their mechanical skill is dominated and misled by the fallacy which lay behind their whole war. We, faced with a war problem of staggering dimensions in the Far East, evolved the B-29 as an answer, a weapon of war suited to a war need. They, faced by a similar problem, have been able to produce only a false answer. They conceived this war in terms of terror and blackmail. That concept was outdated when England stood under the Blitz and Russia held at the Volga. Yet their invasion answer is still keyed to that obsolete, discredited concept. Their thinking is shackled by the nature of their origins. They began this war believing that terror from the skies would cow their victims into surrender. The first strutting, lawless Nazi bully with the blackjack in his hip pocket and the dagger in his belt channeled the German mind. Today, the German army is the victim of that mind in the very field of technical devices where it always expected to excel. It can produce one more instrument of hate and destruction. It goes down as it rose, spilling blood and spewing venom. Yet we can see more clearly than we could 4 years ago that this is not power or strength or righteousness. In its hour of need, Nazi Germany can still express hate, but it cannot express intelligence comparable in any way to that which sent our B-29s over Japan's furnaces of war, or intelligence adequate to its needs.